I have Mark Gross, CEO of Karingo, on the phone with me. He's here to talk about the latest release of their product, CastStore 2.0. And before we get to that, Mark, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about you, the company. What's the company's mission?
Oh, thanks, Michael. So Karingo was formed about 2.5 years ago in March of 2005, and we formed the company with three co-founders, myself, Jonathan Ring, and Paul Carpentier. In fact, the name actually comes from Paul Carpentier, John Ring, and Mark Goros, the car, Ring, and Go. And depending on which one of us you're talking to, you know, if you're talking to John, he says, well, you know, Ring, my entire last name is in the name Karingo, so I'm the most important one. Of course, if you're talking to Paul, he says the C-E-R is for him, and I'm just the O, or the Go, in Karingo. But in fact, Paul is the most important person in the three of us, because he is actually the father of CAS. The technology, content address storage, was invented by Paul Carpentier back in the 90s in a company called FilePool. That company, FilePool, was sold to EMC in 2001, and that product and technology became Centera. Centera is EMC's fastest growing product ever. It's been very successful. It's created a CAS marketplace, an archiving marketplace that is a $2 billion marketplace now. So Paul, after FilePool was sold to EMC, Paul took a job at a company called HyperTrust as CEO of HyperTrust in Belgium, and he actually used the Centera as a back end. So he had a very unique perspective as both the inventor of this technology and a user of this technology. And he swears that that any inventor of a technology should be forced to use that technology before it hits out on the market, because you learn very different things using a technology than just thinking about it.
Okay.
So anyway, we formed Karingo with the idea that that CAS-based technology, content address storage technology, was much more applicable to general content of general storage of fixed content than just deep archives like EMC had produced. So our idea was to really change the economics of fixed content storage, because we saw in customers and companies that we were talking to, we found that people were very tired of overpaying for hardware, getting locked into long-term hardware relationships that they couldn't get out of, and they were storing more and more fixed content. And by fixed content, I mean anything but database. So think of medical images or video or web files or contracts or even CAD documents and Excel documents. These are all fixed content because they're not changed on a block-by-block level. They're changed on a file-based level. So we've produced a technology that is more cost-effective, more scalable, and hardware-independent, and it's a much more 21st century kind of implementation.
So tell me a little bit about CAS, and how does that differ from technologies like network attached storage and SAN technology? Or maybe is it different?
Well, interestingly enough, most of the technologies that are out there, the storage technologies, are based on file systems. And file systems, you know, were basically created 30 years ago. And these are the same designs that people were using 30 years ago to store hundreds of files on very small disk drives. And today, we store billions of files on massive disk farms. The problem with file systems is that they do have barriers. There's barriers in file size, in the size of the file system itself. For instance, Microsoft only scales what to about 2 terabytes conveniently. Even NetApp can't scale more than 16 terabytes. And we find that many clients today are storing literally hundreds of terabytes. So the NAS and SAN vendors have gotten to large scalability through layering complexity layers and virtualization layers on top of file systems. So it looks like you can combine two 16 terabyte file systems and it looks like one with a layer of virtualization. The problem with this is that the file systems underneath the virtual layer still have to be managed. They still have to be backed up. They still have the restrictions that any file system has. CAS, on the other hand, gets rid of all file systems entirely. It is a 128-bit flat address space. So think of it as just kind of like a relational database, columns and rows, that is linearly scalable from 1.5 terabytes to to tens of petabytes, and it's scalable with no barriers in the way whatsoever. So it's a radically more modern architecture, storage architecture for storing the kind of things that we have an abundance of today, like media files and medical images and large video files and such.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the newest product that you're releasing, Castor 2.0.
So Castor has been out on the market since late last summer, and of course when we brought it out, we thought we pretty much had everything covered, and anytime you bring in a 1.0 product, you always learn things from your customers. And we've learned a number of key aspects and have added those into Castor 2.0. Castor 2.0 is very much a world-class production-oriented product for storing fixed content. So we've added a web-based management console. You can point at any node in the cluster, and I should probably mention that the way Castor works is you have a bunch of nodes combined into a cluster. So a node to us is a CPU, a gig or more of RAM, a couple of SATA drives or as many SATA drives as you like, and Gigi Ethernet. It is standard commodity Microsoft-oriented kind of hardware, but we don't need an operating system or anything else. All we need is the bare box. You plug a USB key, a Castor USB key, into that box, power it on, and 60 seconds later you have an up and running Castor node. Plug a second one in, a second node in with a USB key, power it up, and you've got a two node cluster. And it's that easy, 60 seconds, to add a node to this cluster. And this cluster then scales from 1.5 terabytes up to tens of petabytes just by adding nodes in that cluster. The web management console allows you to monitor that entire cluster and see what's going on. It'll tell you details about how much space has been used on a node, how much space is available, how the cluster is operating. It helps you retire nodes or bring in new nodes into the system.
There are other some other features of the product that seem to be highlighted on the press release that you guys sent out. Local area replication. Tell me a little bit about the benefits of that.
Local area replication allows you to divide your cluster into logical subclusters. So, for instance, we were dealing with a hospital in Europe that had three different data rooms, and these data rooms were separated by firewalls. But I don't mean electronic firewalls, physical brick-and-mortar firewalls. So if they lost a wing of the hospital, they would be guaranteed to still have two other wings of the hospital that had all the data that they needed. So they had to specify that replicas of data were kept in all three of those locations, and subclusters lets you do that. It lets you decide where to put your replicas based on location, like building or cabinet, or infrastructure, like networks or power utilization.
Okay.
We also have wide area replication in this release, which allows you for disaster recovery to replicate or mirror your cluster to a disaster recovery site.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the performance of the product. We have things like you might have things like latency issues and between clusters.
As long as a cluster is on the same latency network, everything's connected via Gigi Ethernet. There's no problem at all. When you connect to a disaster recovery site, it's probably across a different network latency. And of course, there's going to be some issues, but we take care of all that asynchronous transfer between the two sites.
Okay. All right. Now, give me an idea about. Let me see. I had a question here on scalability. They talk about scalability in the press release, and I was just wondering, give me a sense of who the target market is for the product.
The target market is pretty much any corporations that store large quantities of fixed content. So these include hospitals and healthcare that store a lot of medical images and doctor's records and have to keep these things, not only have to store large amounts of these files, but also have to keep them for compliance and regulatory reasons.
Okay.
We guarantee the integrity of any kind content stored in the system. And we do that through a patent-pending, transparently upgradable hash algorithm that guarantees that your data has not been changed when you look at it, even if it's 30 or 50 years later. So this transparent upgradable hash system is the only one of its kind in the industry and guarantees the future-proofness of your data, if you will.
Can you scale down also to small and medium businesses?
Yes, we do. In fact, you can use Castor with as little as 1 terabyte of storage, if you wish.
Okay.
That's a very small system. And the goodness of this is that if you start small, there's no problem with scaling up. We don't require you to overbuy hardware that you don't need to fill for 6 months. You just add additional hardware as you need it. So if you're just a starting business and you have a terabyte or two of data that you want to store, that's great. You can use Castor, and as your business grows, you can add storage to Castor without migrating your data, without taking your system offline, without doing any configuration. It's automatically managed for you.
Okay. Give me a sense of what the future is in store for Castor next to 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Geez, hard to think about 5 years.
How about 2 years?
Out. we're right in the process. Our sales model has us selling to third parties, to channel partners. So we sell to ISVs and OEMs and systems integrators and resellers. We don't sell directly to end users. Those end users are serviced from our third parties that we sign up. So it takes a little while for these third parties to build applications with our technology and then spin them out to their user base. So we've got companies like Crossroads in Texas, for instance, building a kind of a generic horizontal archiving hardware and software application for the SMB and above market. And they'll be coming out with this product in a couple of months, and they'll be selling this to hundreds and hundreds of users. So as our channels spin up, we'll see more and more end users using this technology. We're signing up systems integrators in countries all over the world right now. They're getting spun up to speed. They're starting to distribute the technology, and we're on the brink of a couple of pretty major announcements that I think will be very interesting in the next couple of months by the end of Q3.
Okay, great. I'd love to hear about that when you do break up. So,
sure.
Finally, let's talk about the pricing and availability. Availability seems like it's through the channel, but give me a sense of what the pricing is for the product.
Pricing is really set by our third parties.
Oh, is it?
Since we don't sell directly, but I can give you an indication. It's one-tenth the price of a product like Centera.
Okay. Is that significant? Go out after? Is if a client is using something like Centera, you'd be going after the same client?
We're finding a lot more applicability to this technology than Centera. Centera customers tend to be fairly large, and they're keeping fairly large archives. They're often compliance and regulatory associated. We're finding general storage, general scalable fixed content storage, as being a key marketplace for us. We're selling to all kinds of corporations, from the smaller companies all the way up to the Fortune 100.
Okay. Where are you making headway mostly? It sounds like typically it'd be where hospitals are. Would you be hitting financial companies?
Most of our markets right now are media and entertainment, printing and publishing, government, healthcare, and we'll get into financial services more and more, but we need to get a little bit more of a stronger reputation before we go after them too much.
Oh, okay. All right. And where can listeners find out more about Coringo?
Probably the best place is our website, www.coringo.com.
Okay. All right.
And if you need to find out more, just send us an email message and we'll get you plenty of information.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you so much.
All right.